I want to make one point very clear, because I do think the drug war has been used as a tool of gentrification and really ethnic cleansing. Mm-hmm. But drug use is not a cause of it. And I want to pull that apart so that we're very clear. Most of the people who use drugs do not ever become addicted. They take their children to school. They pay taxes. They go to jobs. If drug use was equated with homelessness, all the people who worked on Wall Street just about would have been homeless. The only reason that people are made homeless and constructively abandoned has to do with the fact that they're a part of a population we have decided didn't matter. So to bring it back to Cassandra's point about centering human rights.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I just want to make that clear. As long as we continue to equate drug use with somehow feeding the issue of gentrification, we will become part of the very same policies that are harming our people. The only thing that it has to do with was choosing to see who deserves full human rights and who doesn't. That's it.
Hi, Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. My thanks to the panelists for your experience and wisdom. When we look at the demographics of America, we find in the places that are the most economically devastated and most ravaged by meth and opiate addiction problems, we also find they overwhelmingly voted for Donald Trump. How are we going to get woke the people in my area, the rural white people that I grew up in Idaho, to understand the connection of these issues?
That's why we're here, but I believe in the power of stories. And I had the opportunity to go with a congressional member to the State of the Union address and was in Nancy Pelosi's chambers. I don't even know what you call all that stuff. But I knew I was there for a reason, to tell them about my story. And so when I talked to them about it, then the representatives, senators, want to bring up about the opioid issue, but at the same time, it's like a smack in the face to me, because I'm just like, okay, did you just hear what I said as far as what my charges were, and can you look at the bigger picture in that there are families being destroyed, lives are being destroyed, and we are humans. So I think the power in the stories and connecting with those people have to be pushed in their face.
And I would also want to add that, you know, this slice of the progressive movement is okay to talk about drugs, but there's a much larger organizing progressive folks who do not talk about drugs at all, right? And it's still like in our space, we organize with lots of different groups in New York, talking about, hey, can you sign on to marijuana legalization? That's hard for them. And these are like the supposed left. And so I think we also need to uplift the drug, you know, uplift the damage of the drug war, drug policies. We need to make them more mainstream within our own community and get organizing people. When the left is talking about we need jobs and education and an end to the drug war, and that's not a scary thing for them.
And I wanted to answer, because you brought up Trump, and while everybody was talking, I was thinking, you know, the whole thing with Trump is that he managed to make this enemy over here, and it's usually what, Muslims, which is, you know, code for black people and all that. And we're dealing with that in the drug war community too. I live in Florida now, and in Florida we've almost done it to ourselves, you know, that we've made drug users the hated people. Sellers in particular are the hated people. You know, no one wants to talk truth to power about this. I was strung out like a mofo for many, many years. And Susan knows my husband. You know, the only reason I stopped my pipeline to being cellies with Susan is that I married a celebrity, a rock star, and we had money. So, but...
And you're white.
And I'm cute.
Yeah.
But, you know, even in that situation, everybody sells. Everybody that uses sells. And we're dealing with a population like in the state of Florida, and I hope I don't offend anybody by saying this. We deal with the opioid epidemic has produced a lot of families that have lost a loved one. I lost both my mother and my sister to overdose, and I've seen my son on life support, and I don't understand losing a child. That's something I hope I never understand. And it's a horrible tragedy, but there isn't a single one that you run into that will admit anything about their kid other than they were a little soccer injury and they went to the doctor who gave them pills, and then they've tripped backwards into a heroin bindle and overdosed. You know, I mean, they won't tell the truth about who they are. And from where I'm sitting, Alex is laughing, she knows. Where I'm sitting, you know, it's like we were rich and we had to sell. It's a matter of economics. It's all about economics. You know, if maybe if you're Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones, you don't have to sell or pick up for anybody or anything. But we're not telling the truth, and we need to be telling the truth, and we need to be educating each other.
And the other thank you. And let me just name that we have roughly 25 more minutes. We've got 9 people online, I believe. Maybe it's 10 now. I don't know. But so I just want to name that as we just keep proceeding, which is not to stop what you were going to say, Cassandra Frederique.
Oh, no, I would just say that I think part of the, there's a lot of focus on the Trump opioid voters. And I think it goes to Elisa's point that we also have still a lot of work to do on our side of the issue. But that's why this conversation needs to be way more intersectional, right? Because the drug war affects people that don't sell or use drugs anyway. It affects everybody. This is everybody's drug war. Everybody is affected. Yeah. And we need to figure out how do we have a conversation that centers that as well and uplifts that, because people don't realize that they too are losing. Just like racism is not just affecting black and brown people, right? White people lose too. There's humanity that is lost on all sides of this. And so it's really important that when we are talking about the conversation and the solutions, that we're talking about the whole community, all of humanity, because everybody is losing.
All right.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Mo Barnes. I'm here from Rolling Out Magazine. My question is to Reverend Glasgow. Reverend Glasgow, we here in Atlanta have recently witnessed the quote-unquote face of the black crackhead demon, Basil Ellaby. His prosecution, as you were stating, the panel, Drug War and Drug Safety, didn't stop Atlanta from being unsafe from traffic incidents with his arrest. I'd like to ask you, when you heard about this, or if you're familiar with it, what emotions did you have? And the fact that it spawned a hashtag white crackhead privilege when two white crack addicts, their word was taken to prosecute and arrest Basil Ellaby. I'd like to ask you personally, in the height of your addiction, if someone had denied you a hit and you were expecting it, would you have been angry?
I'm gonna be.
It's a mouthful.
That was a good question.
That's our man on the street, Mo Barnes, for you.
Well, to answer your question, if somebody would have denied me a hit, I would have been angry enough to hustle. And that's what I did. Most of your people out there, especially those that are veteran crackheads, are the best hustlers you ever seen in your life. And what it does is it motivates us to just go get our own hustle. You understand? One of the things that I really, really reacted to is when they called him that, was the first thing is I looked at how many people around me would demonize this guy. I looked at how many churches would demonize him. I looked at how the media was really demonizing him and painting a picture of him. And I looked at how we segregate this drug war. You know, we want to go with the Trump opioids. We want to go with this. And we start to allow the government to do what they did to us, even in slavery. And that separate us. And we start suffering from the Willie Lynch law all over again. And I refuse to allow us to do that in here. So when somebody talk about opioids, they talking about crack. Because our fight puts us together, not our blood. My brother could be on the other side of the fight, but my fight is with who's with me in the fight.
Thank you, Kenny.
Hi, everyone. My name is Erin Parks. I'm really excited to be here. I recently have gotten involved with a lot of direct outreach to people, and so I wanted to talk to those of you who are affected, Kimba, Shiloh, I think most of the panel, with incarceration and addiction. What was the most touching thing that someone in your family or your friends did? Because I think we always look for like these huge solutions, but sometimes giving a dollar to the person that you look down to is helping them. So maybe we can provide, you can all provide people in the audience with everyday things they can do as they walk in life to contribute to what we're talking about here.
So I can tell you that heroin saved my life. I can tell you that drugs saved my life. And I sometimes, or sit too quiet for too long, let's be real, the experts of the drug war are the drug users themselves. If your organization or anything you want to do are not listening to them, putting them in positions of power, and not just one, because if you've met one drug user, you've only met one drug user. We're all different. And so I think it's incredible and powerful that even the conversation of this heroin crisis, what is the crisis, right? Is it the fact that we have an ability to stop all the overdoses, but we've chosen not to? Is it that we sell crap on the street that people are dying from allergic reactions from the shit? Is that the crisis? Because we've been using drugs for a long, long time, and there wasn't a crisis then. So I think it is what helps me, and I think what helped is that true unconditional love, that no matter where you are, that I love you just the way you are. I'm proud of you just the way you are, and I want you to be the best damn drug user you can be.
Real quick, to answer a question, if you looked at the video, young lady, you seen when I talked about DPA, that's the first thing my mother told me. Because when I went to prison, they changed my name. We'll talk about what they changed it from and to and all that later. But they changed my name. And I was so upset about that. And when I got home, my mother told me, I believe in you. No matter what you've done, you're my son, and I believe in you. And I turned around and met this lady. I wish she was here, Stephanie, in Project South. And they took me, and I fought her. I fought against Stephanie hard. Always on my... She's here?